At the feast, we continue to exercise and explore the scriptures that teach us about the future of the world under the guidance of the kingdom of God. Today, we have a different kingdom running the world into the ground, essentially, ruining everything. It's the kingdom of Satan, the adversary of God. And God is permitting it. Satan doesn't have the authority on his own, but he's being allowed to do what he's doing today to teach humanity. Humanity needs to know the consequences of unrighteousness and law-breaking. Today we see people who prefer law-breaking, even resisting police actions, refusing to stop lawless people from doing what they are doing, giving them free rein, leading the whole world, or at least their cities, toward anarchy, because they prefer to give the people free rein to do whatever they wish against the law. That's what we have today. That's the kingdom we have today, running the world. Now, of any group of people who must have understanding of the intent of God for the future, it's not Congress. The Senate doesn't get it. The counterfeit churches don't understand it, though they claim they do. Or the President of the United States, he really wants peace. You can see that. But the way of man will never bring peace. Momentarily, perhaps, but not in the end. So any human organization is not able to do that, bring peace to the earth. There is a prime attribute of that coming kingdom, the kingdom of God, that we should know now. We are the church of God. We must know this attribute and practice it. We must learn about it now. So in this time we do have some time here. The called and the chosen. That's us. We are to learn by the Word of God and His Holy Spirit, which is in us. So let's begin looking at some scriptures. 1 John 4, verse 2. says, By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Why does John say that? Jesus was born not only of the Spirit of his Father, God, but also of the flesh. This was necessary. Why was it necessary? Because if he was to be the ransom for us, for all human beings, the Savior for us, potentially all human beings, it was required that he overcome the power of the adversary. He had to do this. Being carnal of body, subject to pride, lust, fear of death, because before he was a physical body, he had no fear of death. A spirit God cannot die. But when he became a fleshly person, a child, a teenager, an adult, he could die and had fear of death because don't we have it built into us? He had to resist all of those things to become the unspotted sacrifice. He could not have one single fault in keeping the commandments. For all men and all women, he became that unspotted sacrifice. His father should not accept and could not accept a spotted or blemished sacrifice on our behalf. This is foretold in Exodus, speaking of the requirements for the Passover lamb. And these scriptures in Exodus begin to explain many things about Passover and sacrifices. Exodus chapter 12, verse 5. Very important. Exodus chapter 12, verse 5 says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take from the sheep or from the goats a lamb without blemish." That's when we begin to understand sacrifices. Now in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, Galatians 4, verse 4, it says this, "But when the time for the fulfillment came, God sent forth his own son, born of a woman, born under law, in order that he may redeem those who are under law, so that we might receive the gift of sonship from God." The Galatians were learning this. They were to be sons of God. What attribute enabled Jesus to do what he did? What attribute? Think about it. 1 John 4, verse 3. "And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not from God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was to come, and even now is already in the world," and it's in the world big time nowadays, the spirit of Antichrist. People deny what Christ is able to do. People hate Jesus Christ. Whole religions hate Jesus Christ, intentionally, religions to whom Jesus Christ actually came and revealed himself to them, and they hate him. It's amazing. So there are many liars who say Jesus was not a man. We must not allow storytellers of the world to influence us, because you can find storytellers everywhere. Just open up YouTube and you'll find storytellers, liars, rumor passer-oners. That's all. The truth is in Scripture. Now we're in 3, verse 4 now. "You are of God, little children," John is speaking, "and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you, and the one who is in the world is weaker." So who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Trust that scripture. It is true. They are of the world because of this. They speak of the world, and the world listens to them. That's what's happening. So we are warned not to listen to the world. There it is. Jesus resisted the devil in the desert. He suffered over 30 years of living and working and being reviled in the flesh without sinning ever. It's so astonishing. We're still in 1 John 4, now verse 6. We are of God. The one who knows God listens to us. See, John is speaking to the congregation, all the people of the church of God. He's speaking to there, and now he's speaking to us. We are of God. The one who knows God listens to us. The one who is not of God does not listen to us. We have a world that we're in, and more or less, the world does not listen to us. That tells you where they stand. So by this, we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of deception. People are deceived. The whole world is deceived. We know that from Revelation 12, verse 9. During the millennium, the adversary will be bound for 1,000 years. That power of evil influence will be cut off by the power of God. He'll hate it. When he gets out, he'll try to wreak revenge for that. But that's another story. During the millennium, the spirit-born saints will have the ability to influence people with the Spirit of God. It's not so today. We don't have that power today. Unless we are in some special circumstances, God intervenes and provides it. Today there is a spirit of resistance to the Word of God. People will accept love from God without suspicion in the millennium. Isn't it true that someone might come offering a kindness or a generosity that people are suspicious? I am in this world. They reason that there is a hidden agenda, a clever deception, a trick of some kind that will take advantage of them. After all, we see it all the time in advertising. That's what they do. When we see an ad, the benefits are in enticing, big, bold type. But the details are hidden or in fine print. You don't know what you're getting into. For example, all this seems so fine. 3 months, no charge for your subscription. 3 months free. But they're just trying to hook you for the future. They're making money. So it's a trick. Is it a benefit to get 3 months free? You could say it's a benefit, but Satan offers benefits. And then you find out what you're into. So that spirit of suspicion will not be coming from Satan anymore in the millennium. But people may still be wary. We'll have people coming into the millennium. Satan's been put away. But they're used to tricks and deceptions. They'll have to unlearn that and realize that God does love them. Under the kingdom of God, the people will be influenced by a different spirit, a spirit of love. So, How close to the kingdom of God are we, are the brethren today? How close? Let's look at Mark 12, verse 28 to 30. Mark 12, 28. A scribe asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" This is interesting. Then Jesus answered him, "The first commandment of all is, quote, 'Hear, O Israel, our one God is the Lord, the Lord.'" That's from, he was quoting Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength. This is the first commandment." Sure. We love God, don't we? Perhaps we could elevate ourselves carefully and evaluate ourselves carefully about this love we have. It says, with all your heart. I don't know. I haven't been looking at this scripture very carefully. With all your heart. That's your personal, I don't know, emotional center, your heart. With all your soul, your self-conscious being. With all your mind, your thinking, day in and day out. Does it come up all the time? With all your strength, your willful determination, all your strength. These are my thoughts, but we should each consider where we stand on these qualities. Now, that's a thing we have to evaluate ourselves about. Mark 12, verse 31. Mark 12, 31 to 34. And Jesus goes on here. "And the second is like this," he says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, quote, "Right, Master, you have spoken according to truth that God is one, and there is not another besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." And Jesus, seeing that he answered with understanding, said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared question him anymore. So he was not far from the kingdom of God. He understood many things about the kingdom. But he was not far because he didn't understand everything. So isn't that our status today? Us? We're not far. We're not resurrected yet. But we understand many things. So when we are resurrected, we will be given offices of service. That's why we're in this business. It's a matter of service. It's mentioned in John 14, verse 1 and 2, which says, "Let your heart not be troubled." I'll read it the way it's written. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were otherwise, I would have told you, I am going to prepare a place for you." Isn't that amazing? He has gone back to the Father and prepared places for us, positions for us to occupy. So are we preparing for one of these dwelling places It will be a place of joy, of course. Remember the reward of the profitable servant in Matthew 25, verse 21. And his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant, because you were faithful over a few things, I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." And because of understanding what the Master intends for our calling, namely, to bring many sons and daughters into his kingdom. That's where we're going. But it takes these steps. Here we have this evil world. It will be changed. And then we'll begin bringing people into the kingdom of God with him. The profitable and the faithful ones will be engaged in the work of God into the ages of eternity. That's where we're headed. The love of God in us will do this. Remember the foot washing. So let's be engaged with our Father in that future.